Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on holiday. This is podcast number 416, March 29th, 2010. Steven?
This F1Weekly podcast brought to you by Marin Karting and their sponsorship of the Northern California Rotex Karting Series. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Steven. And of course, welcome to the F1Weekly.com studios, and I have a surprise for everyone. I've decided to open the shed and let Desiree out. Des, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I've busted out of the shed. Hello, listeners.
Female! So there you have it, Steve. Let's go right to qualifying. Australia is a great venue.
Yeah, I love this track. This is one of the best road courses, you know, semi-street circuits that are on the calendar. It's a fun track. I just love that really long, sweeping turn along the back half of the course where it's flat out. Just a lot of fun.
No, it's great. And, of course, the big topic of the weekend is weather. Red Bull has some kind of active suspension. Are they, I mean, whether it's mechanical or active, whether it's against the rules, I mean, they are managing the heavy loads a lot better than other people.
Yeah, I think what you've got is it can't, by the rule, it can't be an active suspension.
Of course not.
But they're probably, you know, knowing the brilliance of engineers in the world these days, there's got to be a mechanical way that you can kind of get that car to stay down when you want it to stay down.
Well, it could be as simple as a ratcheting device.
Yeah, exactly. Basically,
you ratchet it up for heavy fuels, and then
it kind of takes itself down as it goes. The only thing I have find a hard time dealing with trying to figure out how that's going to work is the fact that as it comes down, you're going to be concerned about it bottoming out and constantly bottoming out when it gets in a position if it happens to get in the wrong position.
Exactly. Des, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. Even though you've been in the shed for a number of months now, your skin complexion looks outstanding.
Thank you. Thank you. I look healthy overall, don't you think?
Absolutely. And your thoughts on going into the Australian Grand Prix? It's a street circuit. And
yes.
And, you know, it brings back maybe memories of, you know, 1996 with Jacques Villeneuve on pole or what have you. Your thoughts?
Well, it does remind me of kind of the Montreal track because of being a semi-street circuit and being in a park location and a beautiful location. And the fans are, they're very enthusiastic down there.
Absolutely.
Down under.
It's just a big party in Australia.
Speaking of Australian fans, hi, Koala. Had to put that out there. And just a festive atmosphere and the fans, the numbers were up from last year.
Yes, we're talking over 100,000.
They had to make more stands. They had to build more stands to hold the people.
And they called them what? The Mark Webber grandstands.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He got it named after him. For why, I don't know. But yeah, so it's a festive atmosphere. I love them Aussies. They're great fans down there. And the 2010 season so far has been interesting. And glad to have it.
Except, okay, you know, interesting. You watched the racing parade, and you think it's been interesting?
Well, just to see the different teams and the new teams and the drivers swapped around. I had to make an Excel spreadsheet with all the different drivers and helmets, because everyone changed their helmet schemes, too. And I have a full nerd thing that I made to help keep track of everybody. You know, Shumi coming back, all this stuff. No Kimi. So, yeah, it's been interesting like that.
Well, let's speak about Michael Schumacher coming back. Sort of dull in Bahrain. I mean, there's going to be some acclimating, but in qualifying, Michael Schumacher looked pretty good.
He did, yeah.
He did. He seemed to outpace his teammate, Nico Rosberg.
Which he never did.
Well,
he, for a moment,
before it was official. Right.
Yeah. Well, he was ahead of him at one point during qualification, but kudos to Nico to be able to basically keep Shumi behind him. But he does appear to be a little bit closer this week. So let's see how long that lasts, especially when we start getting the tracks that are a little bit more of Michael's favorites.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I'm very intrigued on is the first race in Bahrain, or Bahrain. Lot of focus and press coverage about Michael Schumacher's return, but it's already starting to fade away. And really, the biggest press coverage over the weekend was not Fernando. He's, you know.
Yeah.
It was Lewis Hamilton getting in trouble with the police.
Spinning his wheels.
Guys, these guys are in their early 20s. I mean, they're going to make fundamental maturity mistakes. And I mean, this is not big serious stuff, but still, he got caught by the police, because in Australia, safety is huge.
No donuts.
He's peeling out. And I mean, how cool is he though? They must ship his Mercedes around wherever he goes. I just was noticing that. I'm thinking, his Mercedes, he's in Australia, they ship his car to him. How cool is it to be an F1 driver? I don't know.
They may not ship it to him. He may get a car in every port and then they turn around and sell it.
Oh, there you go.
In that area for a premium.
Yeah. Well,
of course. But still,
but it was no BFD, but they made it a BFD.
They did make it a BFD. And the problem is, it's not for us. I mean, whether it's a BFD or not, the thing is whether this will influence or cause problems in the mind of Lewis Hamilton.
Does it turn into a distraction?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It seemed a little distracting in qualifying, perhaps, which we'll get to. He seemed a little distracted,
but yeah. Still, let's go right to Q1. And of course, the talk of the town is rain.
Is it coming or is it not?
Yep.
Well, it's in the forecast, but they don't know when.
Right. And we do end up during all three sessions, actually, of qualifying, see raindrops on camera lenses and stuff, nothing substantial. We never end up having to go to wet weather tires, though I think it does slow down some of the drivers in the fact that they kind of pull back a little bit because they're a little nervous with the fact the track might be getting just a tiny bit slick.
Exactly. Q1 starts up. Vitantonio Liuzzi is the first one out, and a lot of talk about traffic problems because now we don't have the huge track of Bahrain. It's a smaller street kind of race, Monaco-esque, Montreal-esque.
It's a minute and a half lap instead of a 2-minute lap.
Exactly. So you think you're going to have some problems with some of these new teams that everybody is so frightened of.
Yeah, well, especially, a couple of these teams are truly in the rolling chicane classification of cars.
But we've always had that. I mean, exaggerated a little bit.
Well, if you go back to last year, we did not really have a truly rolling chicane team. Everybody was pretty much moving well. You know, there wasn't, I think it was a 6-second total gap. And now we're up to, whoa, can be a really big. Let me see. We get a full 6 seconds plus, and normally last season we were typically seeing like 2, 2.5.
Right, and now we have teams, especially the new teams, that are only focused on finishing. Being there is their success. So we have shifted.
Yeah, they're spending literally millions of dollars to be at the track every weekend to test. Is what they're really doing.
Pretty much.
So, as expected, the three new teams are the first three teams out. of those three teams, it appears that Lotus Cosworth is kind of got the edge on the other teams, but they're not really that much faster. Heike actually finishes 2 seconds faster than Karin Shandok, who is the slowest car on the grid at 130.6, and Heike finishes that session at 128.7, so almost a 128.8. But and then there's always now you've got the kind of the donkey spot for the regular teams in the one guy who gets kicked out in that first round, whether it be last week it was poor
Alguersuari.
Alguersuari, and this week it's Petrov. It seemed that Petrov was having a hard time getting into this track. He was having a, you know, we can see that the Renault is quick. Robert Kubica is showing that it's not the complete dog that everybody kind of expected.
Thank you, Stephen. Flavio, bravo. Well,
but Vitaly is having a hard time. You know, he, like I think Hülkenberg, are going to look a lot better when we get into tracks that are on the GP2 schedule.
And not right, that, he's never been there. The guy's never been there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think that's Hülkenberg's problem too, is that he has not seen these tracks before, and he's not a Lewis Hamilton who seems to be able to learn a track at the drop of a hat.
As that's true. And Lewis Hamilton did fantastic in those terms. And let's not forget, Nico Hülkenberg is super talented. He's won every championship that he's entered. But I still think he's got some learning curves to go through.
Yeah. And he definitely got some. And I think it was an interesting point that they made during qualification that Rubens was basically saying, I think he's trying too hard. And he could be pressing because he knows that there's a lot riding on, a lot of people have high expectations of him. But I kind of agree with him. He kind of just needs to just get back, relax, and drive and not really worry about the peripherals. Just drive the car. It will come.
He has to get in the zone.
Exactly. Absolutely. So anyway, let's go finish up Q1. 10 minutes to go. It's Fernando Alonso, Mark Webber, Justin Button, Nico Rosberg, and Michael Schumacher. And then quickly, Sebastian Vettel goes right to the top. And I noticed that Felipe Massa is not comfortable in the car. He's having some trouble.
Well, Felipe, this is not one of Felipe's favorite tracks. He does not do well here for whatever particular reason. Maybe it's the closeness of the fences. Maybe it's just being south of the equator just kind of messes with his head. But he doesn't seem to do well at this track. He really never has.
And that's not unexpected. But still, this trouble compared to Fernando Alonso was somewhat surprising because obviously as teammates, he needs to dominate if he wants to prove himself.
Well, he needs to at least get closer to Fernando because he actually finishes that first second, almost a half second off of Fernando's pace.
Exactly. That was my point. But anyway, out in the first session is Vitaly Petrov, Heike Kovalainen, Jensen. Not Jensen.
The other blonde kid.
Yeah.
Yarno Trulli.
Timo Glock. Pedro.
Lucas de Grassi.
It's Luca de Grassi. Excuse me.
Bruno. Senna.
And, of course.
And Karin Shandok. Why? I don't know. I didn't hear. Why is Pedro not in the car this week? Pedro De La Rosa.
Pedro De La Rosa is in the car.
Oh, he's there. Yeah.
You're just...
Oh, I'm on the wrong team. That's why.
Exactly. Pedro De La Rosa is with Sauber's team.
Yes. I need to send you a copy of my chart.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? It's easy to get all these teams mixed up.
Well, not like that, but still for some reason, Degrassi and De La Rosa's...
Degrassi is with Virgin.
Yes.
Pedro De La Rosa
Virgin, the team with too small a fuel tank.
And you know what? I can understand because there was some controversy there. They did have too small a fuel tank. They were able to blame the fuel supplier who said that the density of the fuel had changed back in October after the design of the fuel tank. Steve, these are highly scientific.
That's pretty tricky to say the density of the fuel changed to create that problem.
But it sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it sounds like a really good
reason.
It
works, I guess, on paper.
Yeah, well, the other ones they kept bringing up were the fact that the Cosworth was actually burning fuel more quickly than expected and the fuel usage figures were off, and will be interesting to see what they're able to do as far as because you're talking about a pretty drastic redesign to be able to get a bigger fuel tank into the car.
Well, it's a bigger bladder because that's what they are,
right?
And apparently they were able to get it done. Anyway, let's go right to Q2. Mark Webber is out first. Still no rain.
Yep.
And we've got pretty good dry weather. 10 minutes to go. It's Fernando Alonso, Mark Webber, Nico Rosberg showing his...
quietly showing that he has pace.
He does have pace. The Mercedes, I still think, needs work.
Well, Nico has traditionally done well in qualifying and then hasn't been able to quite do as well in the race, except this season, I have to say.
Well, but especially this season, because in qualifying, you know, fuel loads aren't a big critical factor anymore. And I think the guys that can really go fast with light fuel are going to shine.
Yes, I agree.
5 minutes to go. Mark Webber, Fernando Alonso, Jenson Button, Sebastian Vettel, and Nico Rosberg. Jenson is looking very good.
He's having a good weekend. Lewis's challenges are his game. With Lewis a little bit distracted, Jenson stepping up and taking advantage of the fact that Lewis is not, you know, I think it rattled him a little bit that the cops came down on him for doing that. You know, he probably didn't think he'd done anything, you know, so drastic as to have his car impounded. But it's definitely rattled him a little bit. We're seeing it. And the team isn't seem to be helping him very much because they seem to be getting him out at bad times, especially in this session. He ends up getting stuck behind slower cars for basically all three of his hot runs.
And not only that, but I think you're right. And we haven't, there's hasn't been any press coverage on who this cop is, his demeanor, but he could have been a macho cop.
And, right.
And if Lewis Hamilton felt belittled, and
we're going to put your shrimp on the Barbie, boy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, this could have affected Lewis Hamilton a lot more than we think.
Not only that, but Lewis is, with what happened with Lewis in Australia last year, with the whole lying gate thing.
Right.
Wait, no, I didn't pass. Yes, no, wait, no, I didn't pass. You know, exactly. Last year, you know, he's a little bit unsettled in Australia to start with.
Yeah.
And then this just kind of basically reopened that wound.
The wound?
Well, you know what I think it is? Is that he got back with his girlfriend, Nicole, from the Pussycat Dolls. And she's currently on Dancing with the Stars.
Exactly.
And she can't travel to be there to support her man.
And so his father's not there.
Right.
His girlfriend's not there.
Right.
So are you telling me that he is all alone and suffering?
Yes. He has like a little security blanket, but that doesn't take the place
like
of Nicole.
Like Linus.
Yes.
In Peanuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. His support network's on the other side of the world.
That's beautiful. Out in Q2 is Jaime Alguersuari, Kobayashi, Lewis Hamilton.
Nico Hulkenberg.
Yes. Nico Hulkenberg, Vitantonio Liuzzi,
Pedro
De La Rosa, and Sebastian Buemiesco.
With the huge surprise of Lewis Hamilton being out in 11th.
Shocking.
Well, especially since his teammate easily makes it to Q3.
Oh, yeah. He was definitely distracted. I was shocked to see that.
Trouble in River City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a capital T.
About 7/10 difference in their times.
So Lewis Hamilton.
Well, they talked to Lewis on the speed broadcast. Basically, Lewis said that, you know, he would basically been blocked on all three attempts, which I think is kind of, well, you should have done better anyway.
Exactly.
Because that's the way it's going to be in Q2. And it's going to be in all three sessions, no matter where you are, because we've got so many cars on track. Just imagine if we had the other two that were supposed to be there, how crazy some of these sessions would be, especially that first one.
Absolutely. And, you know, the folks at F1 Weekly have suggested and predicted that Lewis Hamilton would rattle Jenson Button's cage, but we had forgotten about outside variables.
Mm-hmm.
Such as the police.
Yeah. Well, Lewis, the one thing about Lewis is he's still a kid. You know, he's only on his third season. And there are going to be things that are going to come up that are going to kind of rattle him. Whereas with Jens, he's been around for, 10, 12 years now?
Forever.
So completely, you know, Jens has seen a lot of what can happen. And not only that, but Jens probably has his routine down about as pat as it gets as far as what happens throughout the weekend at any given race.
Right.
But Jensen did have his daddy there and his girlfriend there.
He did.
There's his support there. That's my theory.
That
I'm
helps.
Sticking with
well,
it.
Well, helps a little bit. But Jens is also, Jens likes his track. He did well here last year. So,
that's right.
He's doing well.
Exactly. So anyway, let's go right to Q3. Mark Webber out first. The question of rain is still lingering over the paddock. And with 5 minutes to go, it's Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Fernando Alonso, Nico Rosberg, and Jenson Button. And it's somewhat exciting. We're hoping, you know, I'm thinking maybe Fernando will get pole.
And, you know, and Mark Webber's always the, you know.
Of course. I mean, they're
the favorite in Australia to
get pole. And we're sort of rooting for Mark Webber to do well in front of his people.
Yeah, exactly.
Or not.
And at one point, he is on top. He's looking good
And then obviously, the Red Bulls are fast.
Hecka fast.
When they want to be fast, they're hecka fast.
Yeah.
I
wanted to point out that Adrian Sutil made it to Q3.
Absolutely. And in Force India is looking very, very strong.
Yeah,
Adrian doing a fantastic job, including Vincenzo Nibali.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't make it, it's still a very impressive. But still, I mean, they've got a lot of money. They've got a lot of McLaren input technologically. So, and after what we saw last year with Fisichella and Sutil doing a fine job,
Phenomenal straight line speed towards the end of last season.
Most of us expect Force India to be in the top 10.
Yeah, at least one of the two cars each week. So, and then Williams is also doing significantly better this season than they were last. They didn't make third session very often, if at all, last season.
So. And you know, kudos to Williams. Another new season, another new motor.
Yeah.
Not an easy task.
It's third or fourth year.
Are they back to Cosworth?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's tough, and they've got Rubinho, the two-legged guy.
Yeah, and I think that actually is a benefit to Williams having that much experience in one of their cockpits, in that it helps them get that car dialed in the practices.
Absolutely. And while Nico Hülkenberg gets through his nervousness, and it's going to take a few more races. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
He's still...
Well, I don't really expect to see Nico really step out until we get back to Europe.
Yeah.
When he gets on the tracks that he's been...
Barcelona.
Where he's raced and driven quite a few laps.
I agree. And I even expect him to do well in Monaco. But we'll see what happens. But anyway, Sebastian Vettel, typical outstanding driver.
Yeah.
This young man is just...
If you want to bet on
a
guy...
A gift to Formula One.
Yeah. If you want to bet on a guy to throw down the fastest lap... At any given point in time, bet on this kid because he can put together the a top-notch lap at the drop of a hat.
Absolutely, and he goes right to pole position, and he is not challenged.
No. Mark Webber gets pretty close, but once Vettel got to the top, no one was going to catch him. He's the only one that's sub-124 in that final session, and the closest to him being... Mark Webber and Fernando Alonso at 0:35 and 1:11. Even you go to the next car past that, it's another half second off the pace with Jenson Button in number 4.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think Mark Webber thought he was going to get pole for a little while, but Sebastian was still out there.
Yeah.
Give us the top 10.
Yep, top 10. Starting on pole for the Qantas Australian Grand Prix will be Sebastian Vettel, joined by his teammate on the first row. So a Red Bull lockout of the front row. Starting in third position will be Fernando Alonso. Next to him will be Jenson Button. Starting in row 3, Felipe Massa next to Nico Rosberg. And then right behind Felipe will be his teammate, Michael Schumacher, with Rubens Barrichello next to him.
Ooh. Rubinho!
Flashbacks.
Yeah.
Starting in 9 will be Robert Kubica in the Renault, quietly getting to the final session. I think he qualified.
And not talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, the press didn't cover this too much. And I'm very impressed with Robert Kubica. He's got the grit and the machismo. And he's really, you know, to take the place of Fernando Alonso, someone who brings not only great driving skill, but motivational skills to a team. I think that Robert Kubica has done a really, really good job.
I haven't heard about how his rapport is with Renault, but it seems to be well. Seems to be getting along.
The Polish have always enjoyed the French. We were always on the same team.
And then wrapping up the top 10 is Adrian Sutil in the Force India Mercedes.
So there you have it. Very impressive qualifying And once again, Vettel on pole. And the question is,
he in the race?
Well, you know, we go back to Kimi Raikkonen at McLaren, Adrian Newey design, and what did we have?
We had the fastest car on the grid by far, but it just couldn't finish a race.
Exactly. We had kablamos. We had wheels popping here. Engines just popping there.
Just little, failures that would take the car out of the race, which is just, as a first-class driver, that's just got to be insanely annoying.
Exactly. So now I'm thinking, you know, has Adrian Newey reflected on this past and maybe put in a little more beefiness in the design, even though obviously his design is, and everybody admits it, it's the fastest car out there.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the fun part about this was that last season, they were pretty much the fastest car on the grid, and they didn't even start the season with the double diffuser.
Correct.
You know, that was kind of scary in that, wow, that car is quick, and it doesn't have, you know, the little bonus that the Braun had. But
And nobody talked about the double diffusers this year. By Australia, there was four teams that needed to clean up the starter hole in the diffuser. Apparently, it was done. Charlie Whiting inspected. He signed off. But really, no press coverage on what was really done to clean up these loopholes.
Yeah. Not highly unusual, considering that it was an aero thing, and most of the teams don't want much press as far as that goes, because they don't want the other teams to kind of get a really good look at what they're doing.
Keep up the good work, Steven. Anyway, let's go quickly to the following day. And of course, once again, the question is rain. Was it whether it's going to rain? We've got some clouds.
I think some drizzles.
We've got some, you know, little things happening here. And sure enough, as Martin Brundle is walking through the paddock, there's a little rain beginning to fall. Raindrops keep falling on my head. That's not the reason why Michael Schumacher's gonna have a really bad race. Whoa, raindrops keep falling on my head. And there you have it. It does begin to sprinkle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a shuffle on the gridwalk. And what happens?
Intermediates.
Everybody's going to start on the wet.
Not only that, but I'm excited because we haven't seen this year's intermediates.
That's right.
So we have an open thing here, a new variable.
They don't have to change tires.
Well, that's the other thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the hards, the softs.
You don't have to use both compounds.
You know, the pastrami, the roast beef. So, no. And sure enough, it got hard enough. So, everybody.
What got hard enough?
Well, besides the rain.
The rain came down hard enough.
It's a family program. Come on.
Apparently, the rain became hard enough to call for all the teams to run on intermediates at the start.
Yep. So everybody's off on the intermediate tires.
And to be honest with you, as soon as I saw this, I thought that this is going to screw up a number of drivers start.
That, and it's going to also, you know, you just threw half the team's strategies for the entire race right out the window.
And exactly. But not only that, when you start and you're prepared, you've got the slicks, you've got the warmth, they're not getting any of that. There's no warmth. Very strangely, because Australia usually at this time of year is fairly warm. And this threw Renault off a little bit.
I think it threw everybody off, because even for qualifying, it was only in the low 70s and cool and a little bit windy. And, you know, the track temperature was literally only like three or four degrees hotter than the ambient, which is really odd.
Exactly. Absolutely.
15 degrees.
It was odd. Dez?
Well, I think the teams knew since qualifying that it might be some drizzles of rain, so they had to take that as their plan B. So I think they had to be somewhat prepared for this possibility to happen. And if they didn't prepare enough, shame on them. They should have had their
But still, I want your personal feminine opinion. You're getting ready to watch the Australian Grand Prix.
I was happy.
You're thinking about Bernie, you know, that funky haircut. You know, we know Max is gone. No sign of Jean Todt. obviously, you know, he was probably in Malaysia.
Getting ready for
the next race, but enjoying his home.
Something like that. But no, excitement must have been building.
Yeah, I saw like the team mechanics like dabbing off the cars, keeping them dry. Mm. You know, Felipe Massa had a baggie over his steering wheel to keep it dry and stuff. Yeah. But it wasn't full on rain, but just enough to be interesting. And I was glad that the inters came out because then the tire would throw everyone's tires thing off. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And sure enough, we go to the start, Steve. It's inevitable, isn't it?
Yes. Especially in Australia, where that first corner is probably one of the tightest in all of Formula 1.
It is.
And it always creates
challenges. We go to the first corner, you have to have a good start.
Oh, one thing we should mention, though, is that the Virgin Racing cars started from pit lane. Yeah.
Which is great. Last week it was...
Well, and one of them... He's actually not even going to start.
Yarno Trulli.
No, he's a different team guy, but yeah.
Trulli has hydraulic problems, and that's a complete failure. But we'll get to that later because it's not important.
Because he's not involved.
He's not. These people, you know, they're playing so much catch up that I just don't have. That's a completely different podcast. But anyway, the red lights go out and. For me, and I'm not a Ferrari fan, but it was the worst start for Fernando Alonso that I had seen
in years.
In moons. Many, many moons. It was absolutely dreadful. Felipe Massa had a great start.
Yeah, he actually did.
And it was just shocking to see what happened on this start.
Sebastian Vettel got a great start.
Sebastian Vettel was fine.
He went out. He did what he was supposed to do.
That was terrific. Yeah. And that's what happened behind him.
Out of the way.
And of course, we had a little bit of a wait track. Everybody's on intermediates. Alonso spins because he's tagged by your friend,
Jenson Button.
Button.
Get out of my way, friend.
Yeah, and it was, you know, my heart just sunk. I teared up a little bit.
When you saw Fernando spinning?
Yes, I welled up.
And then he gets a bit of Michael, too, while he's at it.
He
slingshots Jensen into Michael.
Michael's still practicing. But it was beautiful to see Felipe Massa have a really, really good start. I was very impressed.
Yeah.
And Robert Kubica did pretty good. Because there was no smoke screen this team.
He just had to get through the debacle.
And Lewis Hamilton had a good start.
Absolutely. And the biggest problem was Kobayashi, I don't know what he hit, but his front wing folded under.
Yeah.
And he was...
That was frightening.
He was flying.
Yeah.
Full disaster.
Instant ramp.
And the problem is he took Nico Hülkenberg out with him.
Yeah.
So all those nervous butterflies, the young man trying to impress Willie Weber, his manager, that was ended in the first corner.
And that's just a really rough thing to happen to a young driver to be taken out on the first lap because then you get nothing really out of that weekend.
Zero, Steven.
Yeah, no practice.
You got that one quali, you got quali, but you got no race experience, which frankly in Formula One, it's critical because there's no other time that you drive the car that much.
Right. So Michael Schumacher's got front damage. Fernando Alonso spins and is now 22nd. But still, el hombre muy macho de España. We have Sebastian Vettel, Felipe Massa, Mark Webber, Robert Kubica, and Nico Rosberg. Robert Kubica picked up 5 places on the start of this race. 5, excuse me, Cinco de Mayo on Kubica.
Yep.
And Fernando Alonso lost 20, about 20.
20. it was just dismal for Fernando, great for Renault. And the biggest question was this race going to be as boring as Bahrain?
Exactly. Now that we've gotten through the, you know, what in almost every Formula One race is the excitement of the first lap. Because it's always exciting until we get the field strung out just a little bit so people can't run into each other, you know, willy-nilly. And It was going to be interesting to see, especially, well, is the track going to dry up? The rain going to stick around? Are we going to, you know, is this going to be a race run on intermediate tires? Or are we going to be able to dry this track out enough to get back on the slicks?
Not only that, but my heart was pumping. Not because I looked at Desiree, but because I could tell this was going to be a good, good race. Lap four, Yarno Trulli is out, hydraulic issues, and Robert Kubica is already on the back of Mark Webber trying to pass. Very impressive. Lap five, Fernando Alonso passes Timo Glock. He realizes, okay, fine, it's time to be El Macho, and he's surging through the traffic. Lap six.
I wanted to mention Renault. The other Renault guy.
Oh, Petrov.
Petrov, Vitaly Petrov. He went up like 8 places. Very impressive. Renault. He went up to 10th.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Renault is kicking butte.
They're on the comeback trail.
We are back in the game. So, no, very good start for Vitaly Petrov. Keep up the good work, Desiree. Lap six, DeGrassi repasses Michael Schumacher. And Michael Schumacher, I mean, he's already had to pit because of the right. nose. Got a new nose.
And got new tires while he was at it.
And he's fighting with these losers.
Come on now.
I don't know about losers, but well, rookies.
The youngsters.
Youngsters, you know, apprentices, as they would say. Lap seven, Jenson Button pits. Super early.
Yeah, and everybody's kind of going,
I'm going, what?
What?
This track isn't that dry yet.
No, but not only that, but when the camera is showing him pit, the pits are just drenched. And you're thinking, oh, great. Keep up the good work, Jensen. Did your dad tell you to do this?
Yeah. Let me see. Strategy guys at McLaren are going to come into question yet again.
And they're highly paid, by the way.
Oh, heck yeah.
Anyway, Jenson Pitts goes off as soon as he hits the track. He's off on
then
turn
he's
three.
Speaking of off, yeah.
I mean, he's just Fernand and
we've already had a lot of passing though at this point. I've been excited. There's a lot of passing.
It's exciting. My heart is like a cartoon. Beep, 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 beep.
Lewis Hamilton passed Jenson, you know,
and then Jenson passes Lewis.
Mark Webber passes Felipe before this.
Felipe passes everybody else. Everybody thinks they're manly. But they're not. Fast lap of the race, lap seven. Fernando Alonso with a 1:41.392. Lap eight. Fernando is on a mission. He's like the Bruise Brothers. He realizes
he's put Bruise
or the Blues Brothers. Yeah, he's putting the band back together. Exactly.
He's really taken to the Ferrari.
Fast lap of the race, Jenson Button 1:39.126.
Which
after the coming off the track,
you see Button throw that lap on slicks. What's going to happen?
Oh, gee whiz!
Everybody's in the
traffic jam.
Lap nine, almost everybody pits.
Everybody pits on lap nine.
Stacked rows. And
quickly, just to clarify, remember last race in Bahrain, the first race of the season, we had the 55-meter rule.
Oh, in the pit lane.
Yes, right. for safety. Well, they narrowed it down to 30s. It's the 30.
Oh, they dropped it down to 30.
Exactly, because of the slower speed limit, which was 60 clicks.
And the size of the pit lane.
The size. It's always the size.
Size matters, yeah.
Exactly. I understand that. Anyway, lap 10. Petrov goes off, and he's stuck in the gravel again. Sort of sad. I mean, good start.
I know. He had 8 places up and then off.
Kaputne.
Yeah.
Fini, terminado.
Yeah.
I think Vitaly's goal for Malaysia needs to be to finish.
Yes. Yes. Slowly.
Doesn't really matter where you end up, dude, in the standings at the end of the race. Bring the car home because, frankly, you're not going to stay in Formula One if you can't keep the car in the
track. Well, it's typical. Just like Nico Hülkenberg. Trying to impress too much.
Yeah, you're trying a little too hard. You don't need to be pushing that hard because you really don't know where the limit is yet.
Exactly. I mean, I did the same thing when I first met Desiree. Trying too hard, and you know what happened? Exactly nothing. And she mocked me. So you don't want to do that. You know, you have to take your time, relax. Have a couple of beers, maybe.
Sounds good.
Exactly. Anyway, let's go right to lap 10. Mark Webber pits. Adrian Sutil pits, and fast lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton with 1:33.039. Lap 11, Mark Webber struggling. Lewis Hamilton passes Rubinho for P7.
A great pass. Let's take a moment. It was a, he went it on the inside.
Let me get my moisturizer.
On the inside, and I thought it was a great pass. It He's on a mission. Pass. You could tell he was really on a mission.
And if anybody knows passes, you certainly do. I mean, I've blundered a couple of them. But by all means, let's give Desiree some credit here, Stephen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Lap 12, fast lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel, 1:32.439. Adrian Sutil has retired.
Oh, and the team goes to Lewis Hamilton, telling him that Weber's tires are cold. Attack as much as possible.
Attack.
When he's already on the attack. Exactly. Like they were giving him that little extra.
And my favorite part is, okay, this is lap 12. Fernando Alonso passes Pedro de la Rosa for P9.
Yeah.
He's already made up 10 spots.
I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, at Fernando.
He's...
If I hope Flavio was watching.
I've got to give it to
watching?
Him. Oh, yeah, he was watching.
In his mankini?
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Lap 13, fast lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel with a 1:31.856. And there's some thought and some... You know, they're looking at the weather vanes and they're thinking the rain is coming back.
Is this the classic FOM line on the bottom? Rain due in the next 5 minutes.
Yes, that used to be my favorite.
We didn't, like, it never comes.
Yeah, it never came until, it, you know, like a month later and it fell on your house.
Yeah.
Lap 13, Fernando Alonso passes Rubinho for P8. And by the way, when I saw Fernando pass Rubinho, and this is the two-legged one, I was very impressed because, you know what, everybody was moaning and crying and tearing up about passing. We've already gotten some great passes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
lots of passes.
The track makes a big difference.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Difference. Huge, doesn't it? Thank you very much, Steve.
Well, not like that, but I think because you get the rain at the start of the race, since most of the strategies are at the window, nobody can really go to that hyper-conservative strategy that they're running Bahrain.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got to...
And hyper-conservative is really what you have to call it. Yes. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Everybody was so worried about making the mistake, you know, being the team that made the mistake in Bahrain. It was just, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. It was almost like they're frightened to catch H1N1.
Yeah. Or, frankly, just frightened to take the opportunity to possibly make the right call.
And frightened to fail.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
No.
Not in racing.
Formula is all about.
Frightened to run out of gas.
Shit.
You've got plenty of gas here, girl.
Well, that's what I think a lot of teams were saying. You know, it's putting a damper on them with this stupid
refueling. Especially in Bahrain, they were worried about fuel strategies. They worried about overheating the car. How are the tires going to hold up?
Lap 14, Mark Webber is catching Felipe Massa. Lap 15, Mark Webber passes Felipe Massa. Lewis Hamilton passes Mark Webber.
Yeah, he went along.
He's off.
He went with
He's
him.
Back Woo! Again. That's incredible. There was some excitement here.
It was.
This is a good race.
Yep.
People are doing what they're supposed to do, at least trying, and not this conservative attitude. I love this race. Lewis Hamilton just, I thought, was just incredible.
Yeah.
Fernando was incredible. Robert Kubica was incredible. I mean, I'm incredible in this race. It's just fantastic. Lap 16, fast lap of the race. Fernando Alonso with a 1:31.574. He's catching Lewis Hamilton, and we're talking P7. Lap 17, fast lap of the race. Mark Webber, he's all over it. The people, the cheers, the crowds, the Aussies, the Bobbies. It's absolutely incredible.
And he'd gone off on the gravel, but he comes back
exactly.
And throws down fastest
and
lap.
And chop, chop this, chop, chop there. It's just fantastic. Lap 18, Robert Kubica is still in P3 with the Renault. Fernando is not at Renault, but Robert Kubica is not a very Latin name, and I'm doing the best I can with that name, but hey. Bravo, 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 bravo. Lap 19, it's Sebastian Vettel, Jenson Button, Robert Kubica, Nico Rosberg, Felipe Massa, Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso, Mark Webber, Rubinho, and of course, the Latino himself, Pedro de la Rosa. Man, I love this race. This is a good race. And I'm excited. And I'm busting out all the liquor.
All of it?
All of it. I mean, it's just spread out across the desk. It's pretty exciting. Lap 20. Teams are telling Nico Rosberg, his team, by the way, to push. Chop, chop. Attack.
It would be a little odd to be, for Nico to be getting a call for the McLaren pit. Nico, you need to push.
You never know. I see something funny going on already. Michael Schumacher. You know what? I don't know what's going on with this guy, but he's stuck behind. Who? Jaime Alguersuari. First of all, I mean, I have nothing against the name Jaime. I think it's a great name.
Jaime. It's his birthday.
Jaime.
This was his birthday present. The kid just turned 20 years old. Great. Baby.
And Schumacher can't get by Jaime Alguersuari.
Because it's Jaime's party.
It's my party and I cry if I want to.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Michael Schumacher was crying. I mean, well,
maybe he made a deal with Ferrari that he couldn't pass a Ferrari parked car when he came back to Formula One.
You know what? I don't know, but I didn't like it. Lap 21, Felipe Massa makes a mistake and Lewis Hamilton goes...
He makes a mistake because Lewis was pressuring him, making him go wide and he's all squirrely.
That's it.
Lewis is up on him. Yeah. It was great.
And, well, the big bummer was Fernando Alonso tries to pass Felipe Massa while this happens. Doesn't. Mark Webber gets by.
What?
And it was...
What a sneaky little Australian.
Well, I think Fernando... You know, the problem is the mirrors are like 300 yards on each side of the pods.
So there's like this big old blind
spot. By the time you get the signal back, you know, the race... If the FIA did anything... That was intelligent. Let's get the mirrors back where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Nothing in the sporting rigs outside of the fact that you have to have them.
I understand, but Steve.
You know, frankly, they could be, you know, even further out if the people thought that would help their
Well, see, for me, it's like the wheels are in one spot and the mirrors need to be
in like a little bit of a window, but... Pretty much, you know, near the cockpit.
Yeah. Somewhere.
Not out on the risers of the
If you have to look over your shoulder to check the mirror, there's a problem because by then, you know, 16 people.
These are professional race car Formula One drivers. They don't look in their mirrors.
Oh, pardon me.
They're using the mirrors like maybe they're an arrow. Maybe it's an arrow thing. A little wing out there. Yeah.
It's either that or they've got pictures of their girlfriends in the mirrors. I mean, I'm not getting
Baby, I'm going to go faster for you.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Lap 24, Mark Webber all over the back of Felipe Massa. And the teams are telling Felipe Massa how to drive. And this is the most amazing thing I have ever heard in Formula One.
Yes.
And I've been watching Formula One for a number of years now.
Like Felipe just got in the car for the first time.
Yeah. Oh, Felipe, you need to push at this corner because if you don't, I'm just going, whoa.
Instructions how to take that last corner. Yes. That shows how.
It was F1 driving 101 by dummies for Formula One.
Because he kept running wide. He was not on his game.
It was bizarre.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was very bizarre, and I never heard anything like that. And I'm sure Felipe Massa, after the race, probably told them, what in the world are you guys
doing? Why are you distracting me while I'm trying to race?
Because he kept running wide. They figured they needed to give him some hints. Mistakes. Yeah, man.
Was not the machismo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
he doesn't like this track much. So,
lap 25. Congratulations, Michael Schumacher. He has finally passed. Jaime Alguersuari.
And it was off camera. We didn't even get to see his big moment.
We don't get to see it. It was all secret.
Yeah, but they did show Liuzzi passing De La Rosa.
Yeah, Pedro.
For points. So.
Yeah, good for him. Lewis Hamilton passes Nico Rosberg.
Yeah.
Lap 26. Sebastian Vettel is in the gravel.
What's going on?
I'm freaking out.
We're like, what?
What?
We're not even halfway through
the
race. He
was leading the
leader. The
whole
pole
time.
Position.
Yeah.
And we're like,
Germany.
Vettel does not make...
Mistakes.
That kind of mistake.
No.
And we're like, going, oh, man, what is it this time?
Yeah. And, you know, and of course, everybody blames Renault because it's fun.
Oh, the motor must have just over-revved or something.
Oh, not only that, but the gremlins probably grabbed him and you know, written in his neck. But we didn't look at the mirror at the wrong moment.
Yeah.
No, but it's sad. But once again, left brake failure, left side front brake failure, exploded a disc.
Yeah.
And this guy has just got bad karma.
Hugely bad karma. Because if last week was true, it was a spark plug. You're talking about an item in the car that fails
very, very rarely.
One in, you know, 120 races kind of thing. And then to explode a disc when it isn't really being stressed. I can understand an exploded disc in someplace like Bahrain where you're just beating the crap out of them.
Or Monza. Yeah.
Or Canada.
Yeah. But here, when it's been cool, you know, what?
Very, very bad luck. And I certainly hope that he attends the...
he needs to get to that chapel, but big time.
Yep. And you know what? I've got a couple of... I've got Reverend Falwell in there. And he's just, you know, praying up a storm.
You have to get that up on the front page sometime this week.
We're going to have to. Because, you know, Vitel's just getting... really, really bad.
And it's killing me in the predictions competition because I've had him on the top for 2 weeks and he hasn't finished.
Yeah. Well,
no. When I know he's going to win the race if his car gets to the finish line.
I don't get it. He had vibration for a lap before. And why does vibration turn into disc exploding? I don't get that connection. You
know, maybe he was listening to the Beach Boys.
Yeah. Well, what could be happening is if the calipers maybe somehow come a little bit loose. So that's the vibration. Uh-huh. And then you put enough of that on a component like that.
Pop! Exactly. So, sad state of affairs for Vitel. He is out of the race.
And now who's in first place?
Your favorite.
Jenson Button.
The Bouton of Boutons.
The reigning world champion.
And by the way, Desiree, this is a good tip for you. Button up that shirt, girl. Lap 30, Jenson Button, Robert Kubica in second, Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, and Mark Webber. Rubinho pits Lewis Hamilton on lap 31 all over the back of Robert Kubica. Fast lap of the race, Michael Schumacher, 130-293. Finally, when he has shaken Alguersuari, does make
some clear track. He's getting some laps.
Yeah. Exactly. But still, I think the Mercedes needs a little work.
Yeah, it's definitely not the world beater it was last season.
Not only that, but the other teams have picked up the pace.
Yeah.
See, I mean, you know, the line keeps moving in the sand.
It's always the way it is.
Exactly, thank you.
Everybody's improving, so you've got to improve a little bit more to catch up.
Yeah, you better get those testicles nice and hot. Thank you, Stephen.
No, I had nothing to do with getting the testicles hot.
Well, I understand, but that's what Desiree's here for.
Speaking of hot testicles, lap 28, Mark Webber. Mark Webber passes Felipe Massa. Right?
Yep.
And now Fernando Alonso is up on Felipe Massa.
Keep up the good work.
And everyone's thinking, oh, will Ferrari give team orders?
Yeah. Well, and now, you know what? I thought about that.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, nowadays everybody's listening and watching. You can't do it.
Yeah, well, it would have to be like code words.
Secret code. Yeah.
Maybe it's a message across the steering wheel.
Well, don't worry. I've got a plan on that. I'll let you know on what's going on. Lap 32, Mark Webber pits. Goes with the softs. Oh, no, you can say it.
No, it's 30. I was going to say there's more bobbling by Felipe Massa going on.
Felipe Massa is bobbling all day long.
Yeah, and Fernando's...
They call him the bobbling dude.
He's a bobblehead. He's a bobblehead.
Yeah. Well, he's also...
He's a Cupie doll.
Cupie doll bobblehead.
Lap 33, Nico Rosberg pits gets ahead of Mark Webber. Then Mark Webber passes him. That was a great, great, great pass by Mark Webber. As Nico Rosberg comes out of the pits, he's ahead of Mark Webber, thinks he's, you know, those testicles are happening, and then no. Mark Webber's still in the zone.
His are bigger and hotter.
Comes down to the difference between warm tires and cold tires.
Yep. Keep up the good work, Stephen.
Yep.
I like the open mind.
You can basically sneak past him.
Lap 34, fast lap of the race. Jenson Button with a 130-201. Lewis Hamilton pits, which means Robert Kubica can rest because Lewis Hamilton has been all over Robert Kubica. And Robert Kubica, to be honest with you, probably said, WTF?
Exactly.
You know, why is this guy pitting?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it must have been a surprise, even though it was a relief.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking that maybe McLaren thinks that if they put Lewis on a clean set of tires for the rest of the race, he's going to have an advantage over his foes because he'll be able to be quicker. But the problem is you've got to weigh the amount of time it takes you to get in and get out with those new tires as to whether or not it's going to bring you the benefit you think.
Not only that, but by the time you get to the person you are trying to pass with those new tires, the two tires are not new anymore.
No. And they're not going to have as much. The advantage that you need to get past them is still not going to be there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Jenson Button to Robert Kubica, 11 seconds, which is pretty good. Lap 35, fast lap of the race. Mark Webber with a 1:29.806. Lap 36, Lewis Hamilton makes a mistake. Mark Webber gets by. Then Lewis Hamilton takes it back. This has been a good race.
Yeah.
We're getting some dicing. Some excitement and this back and forth stuff. It's fantastic. Lap 37, Lewis Hamilton, fast lap of the race with a 1:28.754.
And then Fernando Alonso gets on with talking to his team. You know, why is nobody getting new tires? He wants to always know what the other guys are doing. That's what I've noticed about Fernando. He always wants to know what the other guys are doing.
That's because everybody is pitting for new tires.
Yeah.
Except for him.
But they said that, well, Michael got new tires and he's not particularly fast.
Yeah, how Michael got new tires, and he's dicing it up with Jaime. So, it's hilarious. Some of the talk, some of the excitement. This, so far, is a great race. Lap 38, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber with a 1:28.737. And our top five is Jenson Button, Robert Kubica, Felipe Massa, Fernando Alonso in fourth from 22nd spot. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. Flavio is up in his chair going, bravo, bravo, bravo. Very exciting stuff.
He get himself back basically within one spot of where he started the race after what happened to him. Phenomenal drive.
Schumacher-esque. You know?
Schumacher-esque, but even better than that because he beat
Schumacher. Or Kimi at McLaren when, you know.
Back in 48?
Back when they would get the penalties, it would put them at the back of the grid.
Exactly. But Lewis Hamilton says, enough of this. Lap 39, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton with a 1:28.591. Lewis Hamilton is now catching the leader, thinking of the podium, the win, the smell of the champagne in his face. Very exciting. Lap 40. Will the top four stop for tires? That is the question of the weekend.
Why did not get new tires?
Will they go all the way?
And that's why.
Well, Hemi wants to know too. Are the Ferraris going to stop again?
Yeah, exactly. Hemi's going. Huh? What?
I stopped. They better stop, or I'm going to be upset with you.
And that was the funny part of the race. I stopped. Why isn't everybody else stopping? I mean, don't they want to, you know, pass their Safeway card under the the reader?
Don't they need a discount?
Yeah. And I hate to say it, I felt sorry for Lewis Hamilton. Because if they hadn't made him stop, I think, even though I don't think he's a... Let's give him credit where credit is due. Jenson Button. And
he would not have caught Jenson. Jenson was just way too far
off. Not only that, but Jenson...
The fact that he was on Robert's tail, he probably could have gotten... He probably could have finished second. He probably could have gotten Robert point.
I think so too.
But by stopping, he basically gave up his position.
Absolutely.
To the two Ferraris.
Even though he had fresh tires and looked super competitive, Dez, I know you're excited. Talk to me.
I'm just thinking that, you know, they're trying to give it to Lewis, like saying, you know, you will catch Ferrari, you know. But again, he's like saying, will they pit? No, but their tires will be very, very old.
Yeah, I like the word old.
Very, very old.
Not used, but they're vintage.
Yeah, very, very
like old. Like an old fine wine.
And meanwhile, Jensen, you know, Jensen's soft on his tires. He's Mr. Smooth, Mr. Soft. And
yeah, he's 12 seconds. He's 11 seconds ahead of Kubica. He doesn't really have to push.
He doesn't need no stinking new tires. Jensen doesn't.
The guy is so smooth. He's doing a Gillette Shave Your Face commercial during the race.
Exactly.
It's very impressive. Keep up the good work, Jenson Button. And Robert Kubica, let's face it, is doing a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah.
This guy goes to Renault, replacing Fernando. Not big, you know, I mean, these are tough shoes to fill.
Yeah.
Because Fernando is not just a great driver, but the motivational factor, the nuances with the engineers, the team. It's very important.
The eyebrows. Fernando.
You mean the lack of eyebrows. But I heard that Robert Kubica had extensions put on his eyebrows.
Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work.
Let's get back to the race.
Exactly. Okay, meanwhile, lap 45.
Hey, lap 45, Fernando Alonso struggling with the tires, trying to keep back Lewis Hamilton. I mean, it's just brutal. You could see it. But you know what? Machismo, no problemo. He's got a picture of Flavio right there on the dashboard. What else do you need?
Yeah.
What is your fascination with Fernando and Flavio today?
It's a beautiful, beautiful marriage. You guys don't understand.
Not so good for Timo Glock at this point.
No, Timo, you know, and kudos to Timo and, of course, Virgin, but he's out.
In the garage. Caputne,
fini, yep. Terminado. Lap 46, Fernando Alonso continues, but then Mark Webber says, ha-ha! Fast lap of the race with a 1-2-8-3-5-8. And this is the most fascinating part of this race. And I don't know what's going on, but Michael Schumacher, guess who he's stuck behind? He's
stuck behind Jaime Alguersuari again.
Dude, these guys, are they in some, I mean, are they part of the International Odd Fellows Club or something?
It's an eternal struggle. I don't know, maybe
they're just trying, the two of them are personally trying to get some excitement back into
Formula 1.
I think
they're just triangulating and becoming one as a unit.
Yes.
And, but no. Felipe Massa start getting some more advice from the team.
Oh, yes. Good advice for Felipe. Poor Felipe.
Yeah.
At least they didn't say pull over for Fernando.
No, but Felipe on lap 49 almost loses it with the rear end going in turn 7. And Ferrari's tires are really just pathetic. Yeah. I mean, but it's not
maybe if they weren't talking to him as he was going into turn 7, he wouldn't have had the problem.
Well, they told him to catch Kubica. You know, yeah,
and he's looking.
Then Lewis is coming.
He's looking. Catch Kubica. What's the matter, you? Hey, what?
I can't even see him. No, I see him when I turn onto the front straight. That's the only time I see him on the entire track.
Now, the best part of this race is let's go back to the small teams and Hispania Racing. Karun Shanduk is still in the race. No explosions.
He's still in the race.
Yeah, the car is still moving. He hasn't run it off the track.
He pits on lap 50. Everything's good, and he continues. Yeah. Keep up the good work with Karum, and I'm hoping that Nasser will get an interview soon. Lap 52, Rubinho passes Pedro de la Rosa.
Wait, I think you skipped some of
I do skip
Felipe Massa running wide again.
He's riding. Desiree, cut me some slack. Felipe is running wide so much that, you know, this is, like a one-hour show.
Yeah, and I think, was it Fernando's team radio? They come on to him and tell him 3.5, and he says, okay, I don't want to know. You know, they're giving him too much information there.
Well, and
they're interrupting his
focus.
Mindset,
Fernando was right. You know, I don't want to know how close Lewis Hamilton is because right now I'm just focused on the guy in the front.
Yeah.
And I'll take care of Lewis.
I'm focused on staying on the track with these old tires.
With the very, very old tires.
Very old tires. I mean, they were built in 1944. and when it says, the Third Reich on the tires, you've got some old tires.
Yeah, and Lewis is on his butt. Lewis is on him.
It would have been something about Mussolini.
Mussolini? You mean El Duce? Keep up the good work, Stephen. And, of course, this is just the hilarious part is Michael Schumacher finally gets by Jaime.
Oh, yes. Jaime yes. They banged wheels while they did it and stuff.
Oh, my God.
There's classic Schumacher.
I mean, I know it's only the second race. But how long will Michael Schumacher be able to tolerate mixing it up with the back boys
before he kind of snaps
and freaks out and goes postal?
Yeah.
It's not going to – I mean, I don't know. He needs to improve qualifying.
Yeah.
He needs to be at the front of the
pack. Well, the thing being is that he wouldn't be back here dicing it up with these guys if he hadn't managed to lose his – front wing on the first lap.
Well, but this is Australia. Stuff happens. And to be honest with you, I'm going to continue supporting Michael.
No, because remember when he first started with Ferrari after he left Benetton, he had, 4 years or so where he,
losing.
El Stinko. El Stinko.
Absolutely. So he's used to having El Stinko.
To build. Now he's going to do his building. Absolutely. I'm building my empire around me thing. So
absolutely.
Gives him a challenge. It's what he wanted.
And I heard that Ralf Schumacher's wife, Cora, is helping Michael with some special pictures.
Oh, don't even bring her up now.
let's get back to the race.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Lap 56. Lewis Hamilton is losing it. He's starting to ask really bizarre questions of the team.
He's kind of whining.
This is bizarre stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Towards the end of the race, freaking out, asking why everybody else isn't stopping. I'm special.
Why did you bring me?
It comes down to the fact, like, dude, how are they going to know? We decided to bring you in, put you on new tires because we thought it was the best
move. But is this guy breaking down? I mean,
because just like a few laps before that, he's complaining his tires have gone off.
Just imagine what happened if we hadn't gone in and changed it.
I know, exactly. Then he's like, why did you bring me in? But he's still fighting, though. He's still peeking around for Nando.
Stop here.
Yeah.
I mean, the sad part, after the race, it continues.
Yeah.
And this is a sad state of affairs. And, you know, and what I don't like is a couple of weeks ago, you know, I've learned from my experiences. He had all these learning experiences with Fernando, and now with Jensen, I'm going to be machismo, and I'm now a man, I'm machismo. And, you know, in the heat of the moment, he's still a babbling brook.
Well, he was racy the whole race.
I understand.
He was still peeking and I'm sure, dashing and trying.
I'm sure he will get together with David Coulthard and sort all of this out.
Ooh, can I watch?
Oh, my God. Okay.
And Mark Webber's right on Lewis. I mean, it's like a train. It was like they were Felipe, you know, they had.
Yeah, it was my favorite train.
Yeah, they were so close. They were so close.
Yes. Now,
too close.
Lap 57. You know, the race is almost over. You'd think people would begin to relax.
Well, trying to get that extra couple points. Everybody wants
this. This is home race. Mark Webber's home race. Thing with
Steve, but to see what happened to Lewis Hamilton, Mark Webber, and Fernando luckily doesn't get hit.
Yeah.
He's lucky.
This race was the complete reversal of Bahrain.
Which is a good thing because this next week, we won't have to listen to people whining about how boring the race is.
Absolutely. Lewis Hamilton tries to pass Fernando Alonso and crashes with Mark Webber as Mark Webber is trying to pass Lewis Hamilton. It's a beautiful coup de grace for moi because Fernando stays in the points in fourth place.
Yeah, those guys
Robert Kubica for Renault finishes second. Excuse me.
Almost.
It was absolutely a great finish for Renault. Robert Kubica, this second place will motivate the team. Des, your thoughts on this?
Zip it. You have to say there's more stuff. Mark Webber had to get a new front wing.
Yeah, he goes in for a new nose.
He's trying so hard.
And he
home
stays
race.
In the points.
Barely.
And Michael Schumacher gets a point.
Yeah, he passed Pedro de la Rosa.
And I heard that Michael Schumacher, after the race, dedicated his point to Jaime Alguersuari.
Happy birthday, Jaime.
Happy birthday, Jaime. I think you're a lovely young man.
Yeah, so Mark Webber, he blew it, and yeah.
And Mark Webber admits it. He apologizes after the race. And Mark Webber was given a reprimand by the race stewards after the Australian Grand Prix for the collision with Lewis Hamilton. The Red Bull racing driver was locked in a thrilling duel. They call it.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got other things to call it. But a very exciting race. Obviously, Jenson Button, an easy win.
John Travolta waved the checkered flag.
John Travolta, your favorite actor and star.
He waved the flag. It was beautiful.
Welcome back, Cotter. It's probably in reruns right now.
Yes. And, congratulations to HST.
Who?
HST.
Oh, absolutely. They finished the race.
They got the car across.
Shandok finished a race.
Hispania
Racing
or
Team.
HRT, sir.
HRT, yes. Yes, so.
Great stuff for them. And I'm really happy for Renault once again. I know that I'm
huge.
It's awesome.
Fantastic.
You know, Vitaly can keep it on the track. Renault's going to have a pretty decent season.
Yeah.
And Robert Kubica, just a phenomenal race just to get up the grid, stay out of trouble in that first corner, and basically get into a position where he could just run out the race. And then congratulations to Heike also bringing home the Lotus.
The Lotus, absolutely. And it's the second time. Less whining from Heike Kovalainen than Yarno Trulli.
Yeah, well, Yarno's always been a bit of a whiner. Heike's always been pretty
solid
level. a couple of times when he's in McLaren.
I'm almost enthusiastic. I mean, he's really, I think he's such a young team.
I think he's having fun. Because McLaren, he was kind of oppressed by the Lewis factor. And it was a little bit the same when he was at Renault, too, kind of being the second guy. I think he sees himself as much more level playing field for him at Lotus.
Absolutely. So, all in all, a great race to the top 10, Stephen?
Yep. Jenson Button, champion of this year's Qantas Australian Grand Prix. Coming in second, Robert Kubica. And Felipe Massa, in his Ferrari, rounds out the podium. Fernando Alonso finishes fourth. Nico Rosberg in fifth. Lewis Hamilton finishes sixth. The Vit Antoni Liuzzi in seventh. Rubens Barrichello finishes eighth. A good finish for the Williams team. Mark Webber finishes ninth. Oh. Michael Schumacher 10th for the final point. Four more cars classifying. Jaime Alguersuari in 11th. Right, Pedro De La Rosa in 12th. And Heikki Kovalainen in 13th with Karin Chanduk in 14th. Not classifying. Glock, Degrassi, Vettel, Sutil, Petrov, Senna, Buemi, Hülkenberg, Kobayashi, and Jarno Trulli. And look at... Talk about just the positions of two ends of the spectrum for Lotus. One car doesn't even get on the track for the race, and the other one finishes. Yarno's got to be just fuming in the paddock because, why my car?
Well, you know, it's all karma, Steve.
Yep.
He's got some wine he can drink or something. Of course. Jensen was happy. He's like, oh, it feels so good. Yeah. It's his first win with McLaren, so... You know, that's going to help solidify his position with the team.
And he got his first win before Lewis. Got his this season.
Yeah, then he started dropping the word that it was like his big idea to stop when he did. And everyone thought he was crazy and get the, you know, slippery, change the slicks. And he started mentioning, you know, that pit stop was perfect. So he starts giving himself kudos right there.
Patting himself on the back.
Yep. Patting himself on the back and... I think Felipe Massa was so lucky to get third with all his running wide, his squirrely whirly.
The team not telling him to pull over and let Fernando
go by. Yeah. Yeah.
Happened in the past.
Jensen, yeah, well, I think, frankly, this part of the season allows those two guys to balance out at this point in the season. So, and Fernando's going to end up still way ahead of him because he's got the 25 from the first race.
Exactly. From Red Bull and Sebastian Vettel, we had a braking failure, confirmed Vettel. Earlier on the lap, I felt some vibrations. There was nothing I could have done, and I lost the car. It's a shame. I think we had the race under control, even though the conditions were difficult. Quote, it breaks my balls. We're all pushing and trying to do our best. It's nobody's fault, but we need to get on top of it and make sure that we see the checkered flag. In Malaysia.
Yeah, and he likes Malaysia. That's a track that he excels at. He got his win last year.
And who gave the trophy to Robert Kubica?
John Travolta!
Again, John Travolta!
That's everywhere. What's going on?
And for McLaren, for the Constructors trophy, Martin, you know, went there. I thought he got a little teary-eyed. He was very happy.
Martin Whitmarsh?
Martin Whitmarsh was very happy for Jenson Button. It's a British thing, I think. And he was up there on the podium. Felipe Massa, I saw this cute thing. He was tippy-toeing to try to be taller next to Jenson Button, you know, when they took
both Robert Kubica and Jenson Button are much taller.
Yeah, he was like, for that final picture where the top three go with their trophies, and then he was like tippy-toeing trying to get up there.
Trying to get up into the picture?
Yes.
Yeah, well, the elevator shoes are still in manufacturing.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The elevator racing boots.
Exactly. Jensen, and Robert Kubica is super happy. Quote, to be honest, we were not expecting to finish on the podium for Renault and myself. It is a special result. We were pushing hard during the winter, and this was the best result we could get for the beginning of the season. This is a big thanks to all the guys. We have to stay realistic. We are not up to pace to finish on the podium normally. We need to keep pushing it, and I am sure we will manage sooner or later to be on the pace. So yeah, keep up the good work.
Ultimately, for Renault, they need to stay competitive and stay close because you're going to get races like this where, you know, somebody's going to take somebody out or somebody's going to make a bad decision, and you need to be there to capitalize.
Absolutely. Lewis Hamilton, interesting. After the race, he was knocking the team for bringing him in when they really didn't need to.
Again, I never understand when drivers do stuff like that. It's like, dude, That's the type of stuff that you keep behind closed doors. What are you trying to do? Protect your reputation?
Yeah.
At the cost of your, you know, the rest of your team?
Well, I think a lot of the media was egging him on a bit too, you know?
Of course.
They're like, who ordered this needs, for
he
you?
He needs
you
to
know?
Be a little bit bigger than that. You know, it's like drivers who come out and go, oh, we haven't got a chance in this race before the race even starts.
And of course, Colin Coles, the dentist himself, pretty happy with Hispania finishing the race.
Huge for them.
One of them, yeah.
Karun Chandhok, absolutely. He says that, quote, this result, having Karun ending up the race in 14th position, is a great step forward. We reached the goal with one of the two cars in the finish. I'm sorry for the Bruno, because he did a good job all weekend. Karun drove the team's first full race and finished in 14th position. The first race for the team, what was really fantastic, especially with these difficult conditions, the team did a great job and brought two very competitive cars on the grid. Now we will keep on pushing and just focus. Well,
especially since Bahrain, what did they get to lap five before both their cars were out?
Correct.
I don't even know what happened to Bruno, I admit. What happened to Bruno? What?
Yeah, I never didn't see him come up as, you know, basically dropped out on actually, he didn't even keep. Oh, he was part of the Hulkenberg Kobayashi.
Exactly. So anyway, let's go right to the forum with 50 words or less on the race coverage. Steven?
Iceman writes, Red Bull breaks. B-R-A-K-E-S. More deja vu for Vettel. Jen's on the road again. Payback at Ferrari. Massa returns the compliment. Schumi easily beats Alguersari. Not. Bravo, bravo. Kubica. Hamilton tosses his dummy. The big crybaby. 14 failed to finish Aussie Thriller. Best F1 race in years, if not ever. And then I got one more. Let Frank Douglasson also writes, forget Bahrain. These cars can dance. Damn start rewards patience, strategy, and opportunism. The numbers twos. Surprise. Weber drives like a putz. Lotus still top of the newbies. Great race.
And from sarcasm, we have, wow, that was a really good race. Rain, passing, crashing, mech failure. Disappointing for Vettel and Hamilton. Button's strategy was perfect. And Alonso has 37 points. Strange.
There you go. And from Yay, I am having trouble coming to terms with the fact that I'm really happy in McLaren 1. It helps that Hammy is really peed off and completely rattled. Masser? Hoota man now.
Koala writes, great race. Button shows he is not just making up the numbers at McLaren. Standout driver for me was Robert Kubica, who managed to bring a poorly performing Renault home in second place. Red Bull showed they have the package. Their drivers just have to get their act together. And Forza Minardi writes, now that's what a F1 race is supposed to be like. Mayhem at the start, lots of overtaking. Schumel, nowhere to be seen, and a non-Ferrari win. Hammy was terribly unlucky, and I think we have a new driver on the grid. Takuma Weber. Kudos to Chanduk and Campos Dallara to finish the GP. I hope the rest of the season is more like the Melbourne race. Don't we all?
From Leon Bray, we have Vettel breaks the brakes. Weber forgets the brakes. Them's the brakes or the brakes. The FIA needs to change the rules. Rain at every event. Button on the button.
And
it's like a haiku, that one.
There you go. From H. Bright Music, you know what? I hate to say it, but my printer screwed all this up, but I'll try to read it anyway. Suspected wheel bearing failure stops Vettel win. First corner to be renamed champions, and I can't read the rest. Gents hits it on the button. And, of course, Renault is the best Renault. Rosberg is number one at Mercedes Grand Prix. New rules, DO make for Scooby Dooby 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 Doo. I can't read it, but we'll continue. Des?
From Baumgartner fan, everyone will praise these rules till the next procession. Looks like Button's McLaren gamble is paying off, and I hope Kubica can repeat his performance many times, but I think it's more of a driver making the most of a situation than a superior car.
Original JB writes, quote of the race, reply to a question asked by the roving track reporter, which is broadcast to the crowd regarding what happened at the corner while walking back to the garage. SH and a T happen. No other comment was made. Source, Sebastian Vettel. Another great Aussie GP to be at.
From Blue Prost. Great race. Cream rises to the top again. Jenson Button, we know, is number one. Kubica, always been quality. Lewis, fantastic, fast and furious. So what if he is passionate enough to complain about losing a race he could have walked?
From Rat Hump, he says, new FIA regulation, just add a little rain. Kudos, Jensen, for winning the race and getting into Hammy's head. Does Weber see Kimi in the rearview mirror? Fun.
Dr. Mark writes, F1 Zero to Hero. It's a shame it needs random showers of H2O to make it fun, and this bodes badly for a lot of hot and dry tilky tracks to come. Well called, Jensen. Does Lewis need Anthony back?
From Malta Dawes, Bahrain equals Bahrain. So boring in the rain equals a great race. I say spray down the track every weekend makes for a great race. Get some dihydrogen oxide out there. Winners, Jensen, Kubica, Massa, and Ferrari, with Alonso following up in fourth. Losers, Sebastian Vettel to RBR's delicacies. Hamilton to his attitude, and Mark Webber to, well, his running into the back of end of someone. Blah, blah, blah. Keep up the good work. From Tricky Dicky, our favorite dude.
Hi, Tricky Dicky.
Mark Webber has lost his touch. Red Bull today, we're looking strong, and although having one retirement, the sister Red Bull car should have taken home some big points. Unfortunately, Webber these days is unable to perform. Red Bull really needs a quicker driver. Someone like Kubica. I could see this being Mark's last year in the sport. His erratic driving is becoming unbearable to watch.
From Francois. I don't know if this is 50 words or not. He might be cheating. Yeah, he might be cheating. I have to count the words, but it says...
This is F1 Weekly. Everybody can cheat.
Okay. He says, it seems that only the rain can spice up the races this year. Congrats to Button for the perfect strategy. Hamilton had a great race as well, but it was fun to see him all pissed off at the end. Great race for Massa. What? And a very good work holding up Alonso and always driving on the edge. Great job for Kubica as well. It seems Renault can finally do well this year. I'm sorry for the people down under, but Mark Webber, you're fired.
You're fired! And from N2 Scouting, watched race on DVR, rains brings out the best and worst. Poor Vettel. That has got to suck. Woohoo for Jensen and boo-hoo for Hamilton. I don't like sore losers. And there you have it. 50 words on the Australian Grand Prix. One more from the king of...
I actually got a bunch more here.
Steven, you've been hoarding them.
Well, you guys keep cutting me out. You don't let me have my
job. Oh, who is that guy over there?
Chignish writes, wonderful, beautiful, amazing, exciting race. Good job to Jens, Kubica, Massa, Lewis, and Alonso. Hope to see much more of this. Can't wait for the podcast. Keep it coming, guys. Woohoo! Miguel writes, smooth Jensen shows defensive driving is the way to go in a modern F1. New rules should definitely include sprinklers. Clark is happy. All is well. He attacked everything in life. Jay Caruso writes, great race, but I am the only one who is truly saddened with F1 this year. The first four cars prove without a doubt that one pit stop is the ideal strategy this year. Really? We need an outside set of engines.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah. And then XJ writes, smooth Jensen Ninjas win and is clearly rattling cages. Kubica shows his class again. Massa placed higher than he deserved. Mm-hmm. Alonso provides the drive of a champion. Hamilton misses his babysitter. Red Bull, who? They are starting to look like McLaren of 05, the fastest but made of glass.
Ooh. Very good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, guys.
They're smelling a lot like the McLaren of that year.
Let's wrap it up. Ladies first, your thoughts on the race?
Well, Ferrari managed to keep ahead there at the end in the Constructors' Championship. So, and I got to give it to Fernando. I'm not a big Fernando fan, as you know. But he got into the red suit, and it just fits him like a glove, like he was born Italian. And so I got to give kudos to Fernando. Believe it or not.
For me, it's Renault and Robert Kubica doing an outstanding job in holding off Lewis Hamilton. And finally, the money that
his holding off Lewis forced McLaren into a mistake.
Not only that, but Robin Kubica's relationship with Mark Webber paid off because Mark Webber took out Lewis Hamilton for an easy ending to the race. But all in all, a great turnaround for Formula One. Excitement is back. The talk the town is back. And I can't wait for Malaysia, even though it's not a great racetrack for moi. I think we've got what we wanted.
And Malaysia is typically a 50-50 chance that it's going to get wet.
Which it's very possible.
Seems to be a very important portion of how this year's season's going to go as far as excitement goes. It will be interesting to see what happens the next dry race as to whether or not we end up with some interesting racing or we end up back with the processional racing.
And quickly, I want to remind all our listeners that now, if you're getting prepared to go to a Grand Prix and you're wondering where to buy your tickets, it's easy.
F1Weekly.com.
F1Weekly.com. You just go to the Formula One tickets tab, click, and pick your grandstand and spend your money because F1 Weekly is here to make the whole experience easier and better. Right.
And we've spent all of our budget now.
Exactly. We have spent all our budget, but still, you can get your Grand Prix tickets right here from F1Weekly.com. Real quickly, let's go right into the wrap-up. Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, instant service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. Simply go to marinkarting.com. Quickly, MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter. I know Desiree is Twittering nonstop.
I don't tweet.
But you do twit.
I know some
people. She probably twitters, but not online.
Exactly. So anyway, you can make us a friend by quickly searching for F1Weekly.com. And also, if you'd like to advertise on this program, very simple, low-budget programs, and we do an outstanding job. And of course, we have your female or male voices to promote your services. So just email us at info@F1Weekly.com. Thanks for joining us and good night.
Good night.
Goodbye, listeners.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.